I just can't get over that, his faithfulness, you know, from Psalm 89, verse 1, and then his people are still singing of his faithfulness in the New Testament. I think of, principally right now, I'm thinking about Peter speaking there in that letter to God's elect and writing there that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Now, if you'd return with me back to Exodus chapter 20, we'll be looking at a portion there this morning. And the Lord enabling, we're going to consider the law and the gospel. The law and the gospel. Now, in this portion of Exodus, we see 10 commandments given and set forth by Almighty God, the perfect, holy law of God. Now, when you consider the 10 commandments, and remember, we read in the New Testament that the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Just think for a moment, or consider what this world would be like if everybody kept the 10 commandments. I mean, if that were possible, and we know it's not, but if it were possible, this world would be a paradise, would it not? Just think of it, everybody keeping the holy, just, and good law of God. It'd be paradise on earth. But there's only one problem with the holy law of God. Do you know what it is? It's you and me. We're the problem. You see, and I trust you know this, you and me, we're the problem with the holy law of God. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 3, you don't need to turn there, I'll read it to you. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You see, because of sinful men and women, just like you and me, the law is weak. Now, not that the law itself is weak, but because of our sinful flesh that is weak, the flesh cannot keep it. We cannot keep it. Now, as we consider the law and the gospel, remember, God has just given the Ten Commandments here, as we read in Exodus 20. And in verse 18, we read there how that all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. What a fearful sight. The law of God, which is holy, and the commandments, they're just, holy, and good, and it scared the people to death. They heard the law, and all it did was terrify them, petrify them. And it scared you and me just the same, beloved, and I trust you, we all know why. I mean, to hear the law of God apart from hearing the gospel, all it does is drive you to despair and distraction. All it does is condemn you. You see, it's not an administration of life. The law of God, because of this flesh of ours, is an administration of death. That's all it will bring, is death and condemnation. And it doesn't remove sin. All it does is expose sin. And so the people, they saw the lightning and smoke and thunder, and the earth was shaking during the giving of the holy law of God. They must have been just terrified. What a fearful sight. Look in verse 19. Exodus 20, verse 19. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Lest we die. Now keep your place there in Exodus 20, and let's look over in Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll just look at this just for a moment. If you look there in verse 19, this is what the New Testament says on this passage of Scripture in Exodus. Hebrews 12. Actually, verse 18. Verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. I've heard it said often that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. Listen to the Bible's commentary on the holy law of God. Listen to what is set forth here in Hebrews 12, verse 18. The law, apart from our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, is only blackness and darkness and tempest. Apart from an understanding of the gospel, the law is blackness and darkness and tempest. You see, all it does is bring us into blackness and darkness so that we can't see. Hebrews 12, verse 19. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. They're terrified. Verse 20. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And I trust you know what that means. Simply this. It means that they couldn't keep the law which was commanded. They couldn't endure it. They couldn't perform that which was commanded of them. You see, the law was something they knew that they couldn't keep, and it scared them to death. And when we consider this moment of the giving of the law, it was an awesome sight. And at once they realized their need of a mediator. They said, in effect, Moses, you talk with the Lord for us. We don't want to hear his voice, so you talk to him for us. In the Old Testament, in this portion of Exodus that we're looking at this morning, we see here Moses is set forth as a type, a picture of Christ. And yes, Moses himself was just as sinful as they were. Moses was just as sinful as you and I am. And it's hard to get a hold of that. Nevertheless, that's the truth. That's just so. Moses was just a man like you and me, just a sinner like us, and he too needed a mediator. But here in this portion, he's set forth as a type and a picture of Christ, our mediator. Remember, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That brings forth the question. So what exactly is a mediator? What exactly is a mediator? Well, beloved, a mediator is a go-between. A go-between. You see, a mediator is one who brings two contending parties together, two parties that are in contention with one another. And really, there's just two contending parties. And I really don't know what other language to use. I mean, I'm speaking as a man with regard to these things so that we might understand that God has contention against us. So what is that contention all about? Well, simply this. We broke God's holy law. And because of our sinful nature, we have contention towards him. And that's the sad reality. By nature, we hate God. You see, by nature, we don't love God as he is. And this two contentions is we broke God's law, and by nature, we don't love him. Not as he's been pleased to reveal himself to us in his word, that's for sure. And we're rebellious toward his commandments. And so a mediator is someone who acts as a go-between, between two contending parties, and so it's going to take a mediator to bring them together. You see, beloved, I can't come into God's presence, not left to myself. God can't accept me, and that because I'm sinful and God's holy. And so somebody's going to have to act as a go-between for me and for you, beloved. And that go-between, that mediator, is Christ Jesus, the righteous Son of God. You see, my great mediator is the one who brings me into God's presence. And so God our Father, he can't come to me, just like the children of Israel. I can't endure his voice. Don't speak to us, Father, apart from a mediator, or we'll die. Have somebody else speak, a go-between. And so then Christ Jesus comes as the mediator, and he comes as a man, the God-man mediator sent of God. And now he comes in a way that I can hear the Father in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what Philip said? Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And our Lord Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And so I don't want to face the thrice holy God apart from my mediator, my advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'd be scared to death to do that. Because without Christ, I'd be weighed in the balances and cast out. I'm so thankful for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you? That's freely given to us in the gospel. Full and free and complete pardon. Full and free and complete acceptance by his obedience, not ours. We don't lay a hand to it. It's all his doing and none of ours. I mean, what a fearful thing to stand before God without a mediator and without an advocate. Some of you may know the name of the rebel Christopher Hitchens, that famous atheist, and by nature we're just the same. We're not better than Christopher Hitchens. But he's best known as an atheist. He likes to debate Christians. I don't know how a Christian can enter into a debate about these things. There's no debating it. And just before he died of cancer, he was interviewed, and the interviewer asked him this question. This is not an exact quote. They talked about Pascal's wager and all that. I don't want to complicate it with that, but this is the essence of his question. A lot of people in your position might say, I don't know whether I'm right or wrong. What do you say? And he said, well, I've thought a lot about that before I became mortally sick, and this is what I say about that. If I'm surprised to find when I pass on from this state of tears that I'm facing a tribunal, which you notice, by the way, you're not allowed to bring a lawyer. There is no jury. There is no appeal. I mean, this is altogether unattractive. Why people want it to be believed their God is this way, I don't know. But suppose I'm there. Maybe it's a one-person tribunal, depending on your view of the Trinity. I would say to God, I hope you noticed that I didn't try to curry favor or earn your favor, and that I was honestly unable to believe in the claims made by your human spokespersons. Now, do I get any understanding? And if that doesn't work, well, then I don't know what would. But I'm not going to try anything servile. That means to bow. I'm resolved on that point. And a month later, that man went before God, without an advocate, without a mediator, irrespective of Hitchens' claim that you're not allowed to bring a lawyer. Perhaps so. But beloved, we have one who is infinitely more able than any earthly lawyer, for we have an advocate. Hallelujah. We have a mediator, Jesus Christ the righteous. Isn't that what our brother John writes, the apostle? If a man sin, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, beloved, Christ Jesus comes as a man, the one mediator between God and man. Christ Jesus is Emmanuel, God not against us, but God with us, God for us. And so, too, he brings God to me, and he brings me to God as the great mediator of all his people. You see, Christ Jesus as the God, as God the Son, our Lord and God, as he is God the Son, he can be accepted of the Father, and he is. God the Son is accepted of the Father. He tells us not once, but twice. It's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. I think principally of that portion of Matthew 17, verse 5, isn't it precious? The Father speaks from a cloud from on high and says, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And by God's grace, beloved, we hear him. We hear him. And so Christ Jesus, as God the Son, he can be accepted of the Father. And as the Son of Man, meek and lowly in heart, he can come to me. And beloved, through him we have the great mediator, so that now when we come under the thick darkness where God is. Back to our portion, Exodus 20, verse 20. We read there in verse 20, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was." Here, beloved, we see, first of all, the gospel light, after the giving of the law and all this terror. I see this mediator, Moses, coming into the very thick darkness of God, thick darkness of where God was. I can't see where God is to bring my interest into the very presence of God, but my mediator, Christ Jesus, the Lord, he's come to me, the mediator, my advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he brings my petitions before the Father. You see, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And notice God gives us here the gospel as pictured for us in this mediator. You see, Moses, this mediator, is set forth as a type and picture of Christ. And we have this revelation from heaven itself in verse 22. Notice what it says there. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven." Moses, you've been given a revelation from heaven. Verse 23, "Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold." Now, when I see the holy law of God, how can I stand before it? How can you stand before it? I mean, all the law does is condemn me and you. As I said earlier, it's an administration of death. All it does is expose sin. It doesn't remove it. And notice, how is it that we can stand? My friend, the only way that question can be answered is by a revelation from above, by a revelation from heaven. Notice the Lord says, "You see, I've talked with you, I've spoken with you, I've given you a word from heaven, and that, beloved, is the only way I can know how I can stand before the living and holy God, because I know this, I know this, and you know this too, beloved. Men can't come up with the answer. Men can't figure out a way as to how a holy God can accept a sinful man, not in the way that God's justice would be satisfied. Only a revelation from God can bring us the answer. Remember the rich young ruler? We read this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And that young man came to our Lord on the footing of the law. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. It says there in verse 17, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Now we see here the reason the Lord says this is that he knows that this young man is coming to him just as a man. Verse 19, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then the Lord Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest." One needful thing. Christ Jesus, our mediator, our advocate. This is what the Lord said to the young man. "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And the Lord Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And the Lord Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Amen.